New Mexico gets its spaceport. I'm Pete Combs, and this is Aero News. It's Friday, February 17th, 2006. It is almost everything New Mexico Secretary of Economic Development Rick Homans wanted. Money to build a spaceport and the infrastructure around it, as well as a way to ensure his state takes a huge lead in the development of private space travel. The New Mexico legislature adjourned on Thursday, and Homans walked away with a laundry list of accomplishments.
Well, I think there's bound to be skepticism when somebody proposes a $225 million spaceport, and this guy Richard Branson flies in and announces Virgin Galactic and says that people are going to be going to space from New Mexico by the year 2010. There's bound to be some people who scratch their head and go, what is this all about? And for those of us who are close to the industry, we know that it's right around the corner, and we know that the industry needs a spaceport like New Mexico wants to build. But it took, the legislative process is a great, it's democracy at work, and we were forced to explain and to detail and to answer all kinds of questions every step of the way for the last 30 days. And this ended up with nearly unanimous support from the legislature for this spaceport program and for the funding, and really a thumbs up from the state legislature and the governor to move forward with the design, planning, and construction of the spaceport in southern New Mexico.
The legislature approved exactly what?
The legislature approved $100 million and committed to that over the next 3 years. They freed up $10 million in existing funds for use right away on planning and design. And they gave us the ability to work with local governments, or gave local governments the ability to impose a small tax upon themselves to participate in the construction of the spaceport. So those are the main things. The state made a significant financial commitment of about $110 million today to the spaceport, and basically told us to move ahead and design, plan, and build it and get the space industry launched here in New Mexico.
So I guess the political reporter in me has to ask, how in the world did you go from that level of skepticism we just discussed at the beginning of the legislative session to near unanimous support for the spaceport?
Well, any time that you're selling something, number one, it's really important that you believe in it, 100%. And we in this in my office here and myself, we're passionate about this industry. We believe very firmly and fully that this is a huge opportunity for the state of New Mexico. So I think that came across in our presentations to the legislature. And number two, it also helps if what you're selling is real. And the fact that Burt Rutan won the X Prize and went into space two times in those 5 days, and Richard Branson, very credible businessman, entrepreneur, bought the technology to build a big business, to take people into space, and all these experts are able to come here, Peter Diamandis from X Prize, and be able to talk about the existing technology and the breakthroughs and show the legislature what these breakthroughs are and explain to them what's possible. And the fact that we had some very reputable consultants come aboard and document for the legislature the economic impact, the future jobs that could be created in this industry, all of that together and us being willing to answer any question that anybody had at any time, I think showed them that this is a real project and will provide a real economic opportunity for the state.
Mr. Homans, what is the expected return on investment for New Mexico in building the spaceport?
Well, the return is in the next 10 to 15 years. Futron estimates that we will create in New Mexico between the manufacturing, R&D, testing, tourism, about 4,800 new jobs, 5,800 new jobs in the state of New Mexico, and about $750 million in new revenue. We had another estimate by New Mexico State University that was a little bit less than that, but whichever one you look at, or if you go kind of in between, it's either going to be big, it's going to be huge, or it's going to be very huge impact on New Mexico. And any one of those options was good enough for us. And it also puts us in the limelight internationally as a place that embraces entrepreneurs, adventure, some element of risk-taking, and new technology. And that's, I think, going to make New Mexico very competitive in the decades to come in terms of attracting new business.
You've done that with aviation as well as aerospace. I'm sure you're aware at this point, and we'll be talking about this in a separate story in just a moment, but Eclipse Aviation, based in Albuquerque, has won the Collier Trophy.
That's right.
You have a lot of innovation going on in aviation. What made you and your economic development team in New Mexico pick aviation and astronautics?
Well, it's a natural. You know, number one, Eclipse picked New Mexico, and they picked New Mexico because they looked at 15 other states in the country and said this is the best place for us to launch a new aviation company for the climate, the workforce, all the incentives, all those factors. With space, it really is even more natural because the spaceport has these natural assets of the restricted airspace, the being immediately adjacent to White Sands Missile Range, and its restricted airspace that goes from ground to infinity. The altitude of 4,700 feet, which helps to add payload weight or reduce fuel costs. The sparsely populated area around there, which is important as we're launching this new industry to lower risk levels for insurance companies. And then the dry weather, the predictable weather. And when you're talking about launching daily or multiple times a day, you got to know that there's not going to be a hurricane, a storm system, interfering with that launch schedule, that you can get a predictable launch schedule that you can make money off of. So there had been a whole group of people that had worked for last 15 years to propose the spaceport, and they'd always said you have to wait until the new industry comes and you have to wait until a real customer knocks on your door. And that happened on our watch, and I think, you know, really if you want to give us some credit for something, what we did was we recognized that the time had come. We recognized that there was a valid customer. We recognized a new industry had arrived when the X Prize was won, and that's what we grabbed hold of that and we ran with it. And I think we're gonna, you know, get some good results, and it's gonna be an important historic time for the state of New Mexico.
We'll hear more of this interview in just a moment. But first, this AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
When was the last time you checked under the hood of your car? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as simple and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. They're made of aluminum, so you get the best power-to-weight ratio in general aviation. They're FADEC controlled. What about your new glass cockpit? The engine management system works seamlessly with most multifunction displays, so you can get minute-by-minute updates on just how well your V engine is performing. Add it up. A lighter, more powerful engine. Liquid cooling to reduce sudden temperature changes inside the engine. FADEC control. True glass cockpit interfacing. And an engine that runs more quietly and with less vibration than other piston engines. The AES V220 and V300T. As simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services. The shape of things to come. Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our AeroNews special feature. New Mexico legislatures adjourned for the year on Thursday, but not before giving the New Mexico spaceport a resounding vote of approval. Rick Homans is the state secretary of economic development and spearheaded the effort to build the spaceport. I take it now that you have legislative approval, you have funding, and a considerable amount of funding at that. It would be great to be able to sit back, go skiing for a week and sort of relax. I take it that's not what you're going to do in the next week or so.
No, in fact, on Monday I fly to Washington, D.C., on Tuesday, Patty Gray Smith from the FAA and her staff a full briefing on the spaceport. I'll be meeting with Department of Energy, Department of Defense, NASA officials, White House officials, Department of Commerce, and our congressional delegation and their staff, and giving them all full briefings on the spaceport and looking for ways to get the federal government involved in funding a piece of the spaceport. In addition to that, we have been circulating a draft RFP, request for proposals, for our architecture engineering services related to the spaceport so we can begin construction when we receive our FAA license at the end of 06. We want to begin construction early in 07.
The work is also ongoing, I take it, in attracting more businesses, more aerospace businesses that would be tied to the spaceport. You have Virgin Galactic as an anchor, and I know that you've got some work to do in terms of finalizing those arrangements. Who else, let's talk about Virgin Galactic, but also about who else might be coming to New Mexico for the spaceport and access to your facility.
Well, the companies that we're working with right now are obviously Virgin and Up Aerospace and Star Chaser, the Rocket Racing League, the XPRIZE Cup. Those are all active projects. We want to make sure that we put all the attention. We've spent a lot of effort now on securing the funds to move forward with the project. We've got more effort to put into that at the federal level and at the local level. And we also need to get involved and really pay attention to the design, the engineering, and the programming of the spaceport so that we can build this facility that's going to naturally attract, customers that need a spaceport to operate from. So we're talking to a lot of folks. We're going to be having a conference here in sometime in May where we're attracting, bring together some of the industry players. And we're really stepping up the visibility of the XPRIZE Cup this October to, we want this to be an event where we bring all the major players in the new space industry here to New Mexico for that week. And we're showcasing New Mexico. We're hearing about their plans, and we're talking about the future of this industry. And that's really the best way to market New Mexico, is to have these companies come here to participate in these events here and to see what we have to offer.
Mr. Secretary, with all the good news that you've been able to garner in the last 24 hours or so, what's keeping you up at night?
Not a whole lot. I sleep pretty well at night.
You don't see anything out there that you really need to work on in advance of actually getting this off the ground?
Well, there's so much to work on. It has to move forward at the same time. And we work very hard on that all day long. So this has been a great project so far. It's fallen into place fairly smoothly. It's really exciting working with these new companies and seeing these new ideas, and just realizing that every step that we're taking has some sense of history to it, and is new and it's historic, and that makes it very worthwhile to go through that.
We talk a lot about the manned space ventures, Virgin Galactic. We also talk about rocket racing and that sort of thing. But what about making the spaceport a competitor for to projects like Ariane Space and the Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan? Do you think eventually you'll be able to rival them and perhaps even Kennedy Space Center?
Well, what we've always viewed what we're doing here as launching a whole new space industry and really kind of the second space age, and I'm not sure we're competing with other spaceports and other. I think we're creating something new, and we're leading the pack. And I think there will be other spaceports that develop, as we move forward. What we're talking about is making space so much more accessible and affordable than it's ever been before. And we're talking about eventually having facilities in space where people can live and work, and there can be research and develop. There can be manufacturing. There can be growing of different products and all sorts of things that I don't think we can really imagine right now until we have that kind of access to space and are able to experience it and work with it. But if there's only one spaceport in the world that's servicing this new space age 20 years from now, then, we misread this whole thing. Because I think there will, just like, the airline industry started with a couple of, commercial airports and then grew from there, I think the space industry is going to experience that same phenomenon. But we want to be the launch pad. We want to be the place that attracts the cluster of new companies. We want to be the home for research and development and for manufacturing. And that's our payoff for being the leader, for being number one. But we know that there's going to be a lot of other spaceports in the years to come, and we welcome that and want to work together as a team.
My final question, and I appreciate your time, is you've sold the legislature. You still have a bit of a sales job to do in terms of getting Congress and the FAA fully on board. What about the New Mexico public?
Well, I think, if you go down to southern New Mexico, experienced the birth of the first space age in the United States in 1947 with the V-2 rocket. They saw, NASA, they've experienced White Sands Missile Range, the Northrop Landing Strip, the, all sorts of space-related and aerospace activities. And space is in the blood of southern New Mexico. They're believers through and through in the spaceport and what it can bring them. The further you go into northern New Mexico and, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, other communities, I think that's where where we need to do some more public education and get involved with the school systems and with public events and expose people to this industry so we can convert them. It's not a hard thing to do. People love it. They love to be part of it. They love to learn about it. And I think we've got a great story to tell. And I sense a great excitement around the state related to this spaceport. People want to be put on the map for something here in New Mexico. We've suffered in many ways, from poor rankings in a number of areas, and this is an opportunity for New Mexico to really come out on top and be recognized for being bold and being a leader, and people are excited about that.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at the airport.